Bill Henry Show.
Let's go to Gene Lasker. He's with New Jersey Emergency Management. He joins me on the phone right now.
A lot of people have asked me if I was behind it. I've had people...
Well, you know, I didn't know that could discriminate. I thought they were equal opportunity employers all the way.
I was at Katrina, and Katrina, you know, so many people said it's not what you saw on television.
Aren't I brilliant?
Lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, where truth is our bitch. And you never know where you find it. Is it in the news? Is it in the issues we're discussing? Is it in the phone calls themselves? Is it inside of you? We find out here every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Joining us this hour is Margaret Gray. She of the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes a syndicated newspaper column that appears in 150 newspapers around the country. And I'm racing here, Margaret. I wanted to get back to you as quickly as I could because I know that you're busy tonight. But we're talking about John Mayer and...
If I could, by the way, you said that he's not a blues player, and I don't know where you get that idea. John Mayer is very bluesy, very much the blues singer. It is, I think, a modern blues style that harkens back to a Stephen Bishop. Down in Jamaica, they got lots of lovely, you know.
I would never think of Stephen Bishop blues. Like, I don't want to talk about that right now, but you said that John Mayer is quoted in an interview with Playboy magazine as saying that he's very popular among black rappers, and so therefore he has an N-word pass, he's got a ghetto pass, and as a white man he can use the N-word. You say you have one.
I'm not saying I have one, I do have one. When you put it that way, you put in question whether I'm being truthful. I'm absolutely truthful.
Margaret, you have said that you've walked up to Oprah Winfrey, Mariah Carey, Quincy Jones, Denzel Washington, and other African-American celebrities, people of prominence, and that you have said my N-word, you've used the N-word, and I'm not calling, I don't want to call you a liar, but I find it difficult to believe, and I think that...
I want you to repeat that one more time very slowly, very slowly. And I want my husband to get on the extension... You on that, Frank? I want you to say that again, all right?
And say what again?
Say what you just said that you find it hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe.
Did you get that, Frank?
Yeah, I've transcribed it.
Well, I don't give a damn. Are you going to sue me?
Well, Mr. Henry, my credibility, like yours, lies with the public having a certain level of faith in me. When I tell you that I walked up to Mariah Carey and I said, you fat N-word, and I said it with love and with friendship, and she laughed. I'm telling you the truth.
You fat N-word. You fat... That's what you said.
You're not calling me that.
No, is that what you said to her?
Yes, that's what I said to her. Now, Phil,
Okay, fine. All right, we'll move past that.
You said to me to take the woman at her word. That's what I'm doing. Now, the other thing that's very important, Phil, and I wanted to get to this. First of all, President Obama can bring this country together a lot quicker if, in a figurative sense, he can give out an end pass himself. Can Obama give the end pass to a Boehner? I don't think so. Can Obama give a ghetto pass to Mitch McConnell? I don't think so. Can Obama give a ghetto pass to John McCain? I don't think so. Has he given one to Nancy Pelosi? Obviously. She's conversant with blacks. Black people are comfortable with her.
Wait. Hold on just a minute. I mean, I'll believe that you have one. I'll believe that Mitch McConnell doesn't have one. Don't tell me that Nancy Pelosi has got an N pass or a ghetto pass. Have you ever heard her call the President of the United States that word?
I have not heard it myself. I've been told.
Oh, bull. I'm telling you right now, that's a lie.
Are you calling me a liar?
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm saying that whoever told you that is a liar. Nancy Pelosi doesn't have an N-word pass with Obama.
Well, I am telling you, Phil, that more white people in this country need to work to get whatever they perceive a ghetto pass to be, we've got to begin to get white people off the dime and looking for, in whatever way they can, an opportunity, even if it's at the figurative will call window, to get a ghetto pass.
At the will call window, okay.
Yes, at the will call window. Yes, you heard me.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to a phone call as we speak with Margaret Gray about this idea of having a ghetto pass or an N-word pass. Some white people get it, others don't. Here's Jennifer on the Phil Henry Show. Jennifer, you're on with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
First off, I'm going to call her a liar. You might be scared to call her one, but she is a liar. Ain't no way.
Excuse me.
Excuse
you don't call
you
me
is
a liar.
Exactly
you,
what we need to
you
do because
don't call
you,
me a liar.
You a liar. You know, ain't no way in, I don't know if I can say
what
hell.
What was I lying about?
No
what was I lying about? What was I lying about?
Well, let's just back up and we can go all the way to the beginning. But you saying this, Pelosi get to call Obama the N-word. You heard that?
Yeah.
Stop saying things that you
yeah.
heard. Do you know it to be true? You lying.
That
you
is a lie, just, Margaret.
Excuse me, I didn't
lie.
Say it. I said I heard
liar.
That. Well, you know full well that Nancy Pelosi's got an N-word
pass.
Know.
And then
I didn't say that.
First you said that you called Mariah a black something, but then you just changed it and called her a fat N-word. Come on now.
Excuse me, no. I said last hour I walked
we
up to her, Oprah, and I said, you two fat slobs.
You took your medicine today. That's
I know
what
exactly what I said to the two of them.
You said, hold on, you said you were at some Golden Globes function with Mariah Carey and Oprah Winfrey.
That's correct.
All right. The three of you are at the buffet. Yeah, hold on for just a second, Jennifer. The three of you were at the buffet at a breakfast.
Not breakfast. I said dessert. Why don't you get your head and your ass wired together, okay?
Pardon me. Don't talk to me like that on my show. You said you're okay at a dessert table. And you walked up to Oprah Winfrey and Mariah Carey and said, why, you fat, dirty N-words.
Yes, that's what I said.
And you're telling me that happened.
Jennifer's
but
laughing.
But she changed
it. Because
you lying. Put your husband on the phone. I'm going to tell him you're a liar, too. Tell him to give you your medicine.
All right.
You up on Phil's show
fine.
Trying
hold
to
on.
Act like you
Frank.
Got a ghetto pass and you get to use
Frank,
the N-word.
Young lady here, the
but you don't even know what a ghetto pass
hello,
is either.
Yeah, this is Frank Gray. Hello.
Frank, is this you?
Yes.
The young lady.
Did your wife
take your
medicine today?
Oh, yeah. He took his medicine earlier, yeah.
Well,
all right.
he must not have took the right dosage,
because
she got a ghetto pass, and she
gets
to call black
yeah,
for the
N-word. He's got a ghetto pass, yeah. But, you see, he's talking to the host of the show, and the host of the show,
do you, what's
the
ghetto pass? Let's ask you, because she don't even know. What's the ghetto pass?
Who doesn't know? My wife? Well, he's got one.
Neither one of y'all know, obviously, but do you know?
Do you have one?
She's black.
I'm black. So I don't need
one.
There ain't no way that no white.
All right, let me, Frank. Do you know something? Right.
He does have one. Now our son, she doesn't have one.
All right, Frank. Do you have a ghetto pass?
I don't have it. What do I want with that? I got people who come into my office. I don't go anywhere.
Do you have black clients?
Every single kind of client you want to know, I got. I got black clients, white clients.
All right. Do you know what a ghetto pass is?
I don't know what it is.
Don't
a ballpark?
Know
a ballpark? No, it's not a ballpark.
Well, then I don't know what it is. All I know is Margaret said he has one, and so he has one. Here's the phone.
Well, we let you know
you
that he's a liar. We let him know that you're a liar. No,
so now
we're
you're calling
happy.
My husband
you
a liar.
Lying.
Now you call my husband a liar. My baby,
you got
my
some
husband.
Kids. I will call the whole family some liars because you lying.
You know something, Jennifer? It's a good thing I've got a ghetto pass because you are a lying, dirty little...
All right, we had to dump that, and I don't want to hear that on my show ever... No, I don't want that going out on the air ever again, okay?
I called her the N-word, and she said it's all right.
She didn't hear it because we dumped it.
How dare you? I said to her that she's a dirty little...
As long as you're saying that word...
She's laughing. She's enjoying it. She
no,
likes it.
And if you were in my presence, you know what would happen to you? You would need your husband because I would slap you so hard that your mama would raise up out of her grave and slap the, I ain't going to cuss, but she would slap your ass too.
And you're laughing at that.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
Because it's funny. call me a dirty whatever you think you call Mariah.
I'm saying it out of friendship. I called Mariah that out of friendship. I'm saying that to you.
Hey,
that you're a dirty, unwashed...
You call them that because if any black person let some trash call them a N-word, come on now. I don't even let my friends call me that. And you ain't
don't you know that other
blacks...
I've got a... I'm sorry, Jennifer, but I have a ghetto pass, which allows me as a white
pass?
Woman.
We just asked
yeah, what is this? More and more people, even,
you
know, Margaret, even black people don't know what a ghetto pass is, okay?
They're clowning. They know exactly what it is. Black people know because that's part
a,
of
a ghetto pass
of what
would
it is.
Allow you to come to the ghetto without getting your white ass kicked. That's the ghetto pass. You won't get to come and call nobody no N-word.
I have that. That's exactly what I have, and it also allows me
okay,
to go
so
to your
you can
house.
Okay, so you can go to the ghetto with a black person and be safe. That's a ghetto pass. You can't go to the ghetto
and
call nobody no N-word and be safe.
No, the ghetto
if
pass,
a black person
the ghetto pass
you
that I have.
To black people and let you say that, they need they ask what's right along with you. It just won't happen. I'm sorry.
Darling, the ghetto pass that I have allows me to go to the ghetto with a black friend and to go to your house
okay,
and
now
say,
that I done told
is that
you
little
what
black...
I think what we
right,
think
okay.
a ghetto pass
right.
is you want to claim right. it. No, sweetheart, yeah. no. It
no,
ain't going to happen.
Control of your show. Take control of your show because this little...
I had to dump
where,
her again.
Where is her radio right. station at? Because right. I need to go sit out front in the morning so I can get called a dirty sack.
My radio station... I'm on a... Hello, I'm on a telephone from my home. And I can assure you where I live...
Because I want you to call me when it is
I live,
my face.
You'd have to... I'd have to leave your name at the gate for you to get through.
Anyway, right. Jennifer, thank you very much. Very good call. And I think you stood up for yourself very well. And, Margaret, this is not anything that I want to criticize you for, but you can obviously see that there are a lot of African-American listeners.
A lot of African-American listeners. Look at how proper you are. You see, you don't have the N-word pass. I can say there's a lot of dirty...
I dumped it again, okay?
You are like... You're worse than Hitler, the way that you censor and...
Yeah, I censor and because I don't want you to just use this as your platform, your forum for your ghetto pass. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. And coming back, we'll have more of your phone calls as we talk about an interview with, of all people, John Mayer, who said he has a ghetto pass, which means he can use the N-word. Robert De Niro may have a ghetto pass. Margaret Gray has a ghetto pass. How many white people have ghetto passes? And would it help if more had them so that we'd all get along better? I don't know. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you really don't get it, do you?
Phil,
where's
Henry.
My wife? I want to know where he is.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on, we're back on the air with Margaret Gray here on the Phil Hendry Show. We've been talking about the so-called N-word pass, ghetto pass. Do some white people have the right to call black people the N-word because they are respected by black people? Do some white people have the right to call black folks ma blankety blank because they're respected or otherwise are seen as having some level of credibility that other whites don't have? Margaret Gray is on the line with us. She claims that she has been able to successfully call, in friendship, black people the N-word. Most recently, Mariah Carey, Oprah Winfrey, Denzel Washington, and who else, Margaret?
Well, Phil, I'm not going to go into it.
No, you mentioned there was another gentleman.
Quincy Jones, all right.
Quincy Jones. You, Quincy Jones, all five of you had this marvelous rapport.
That's four people we're talking about.
Well, there was one other gentleman. I forget who it was.
Jimmy Walker was there too. Yeah,
Jimmy Walker, the kid, the guy from.
Well, yeah, the young man from What's Happening.
From What's Happening.
No, it wasn't What's Happening. It was Happening. Was the name of the show?
No, I think you're wrong. I think it was What's Happening.
No, it wasn't. And this is why you don't have, and won't have
a ghetto pass, because I don't know that it's Was Happening.
No, it's. Subtlety, Phil, that you miss. Now, I am saying to President Obama and to all white people, there needs to be some meeting ground where the president can comfortably hand a ghetto pass out to someone on Capitol Hill besides Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid.
Are you trying to tell me that Harry Reid has called the president the N-word?
Well, what do you think? They're the two best friends that Obama's got in Washington. Of course they call him the N-word. Of course they do. At breakfast, when they're relaxing. And what I'm saying is that Harry Reid probably refers to the other senators as N-words. You know, Mr. President, those N-words, you know, but, you know, an N-word like you, you're a great N-president. These are things that are relaxing. They are non-offensive. And it's what blacks do with each other anyway.
Until you have verification that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi have a ghetto pass, I ain't believing that. No way, no way, no way.
You really want to just turn a blind eye to the truth, don't you?
No. I'm not buying it. I don't give a damn what you say. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call. We have Tricia.
Well, no, one more thing, Phil. Randy Jackson of American Idol. I guess you don't believe that I get to call him a big fat black N-word. You don't believe that?
Not for a minute, no.
So I'm still a liar.
I don't believe that, no.
How dare you?
All right, you know what, Margaret, relax. Tricia in Boston, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Oh, my God. This woman is unbelievable. She is the biggest lying sack on earth. You actually want people to believe you called Mariah Carey the N-word? And
yes,
what's his
name
for American Idol? You're a liar. You're a liar, 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 liar.
You know something? Just because Mr. Henry said it doesn't mean you have to copy him.
If you actually called them that word, they would have whooped your butt. Are you black? No, I am not.
Then you don't know what you're talking about. Go back to your
white too.
If I called any of my black friends that word, they would whoop my ass from here to next Tuesday.
Because you don't have an N-word pass. I do. Because I'm respected.
I'm down.
Oh, well, you grow up.
You're lying.
Grow up, okay?
This woman's calling me a liar because you did, and so she's monkey see, monkey do. Isn't
you're
that right?
A liar.
Isn't that right, Tricia? Monkey see, monkey do.
You're a liar.
Okay.
And
the essential point here is that she doesn't believe you. She thinks you're a liar.
I'm a liar. I said to Randy Jackson the other day,
that
I love you, and
I'm
so grateful that they're keeping him on the show. And I said, you are one great, big, fat, wonderful N-word. And he hugged me.
Oh, you liar. He would have smacked you right upside the head.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Tricia, there. 877-876-PHIL.
Let me ask you a question, Phil. How do you stand it?
Stand what?
Talking to an idiot like that. Liar, 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 liar. That's all she had to say. She didn't have anything else to say.
Well, you were going, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down.
That was better than... I think that was far more interesting.
Oh, okay, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down. I'm a liar, 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 liar.
What do you got, epilepsy or something? I said...
No, I don't.
I said, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down. And I am down.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Milton on the Phil Hendry Show.
What about Spike Lee? I met him in Harlem.
Milton, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir. He's in Houston.
Hi. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, very well, sir. Thank you.
All right. Margaret, do you know anything?
Yes, hello.
Do you know anything about black history at all?
There was a man. Yes, I do. A great deal. The man who made up the, is it toothpaste?
Toothpaste.
Let me get to the point.
Yes.
Black people in America have had an identity crisis from the time that we got here, even to today.
I know.
Very frankly, what's going on with the rappers as a gender or a group is very detrimental. And in the words of Dr. King, when we see people just as people, not by the color of their skin, we will have made some progress. It is a very hurtful thing to think that black people issue by word of mouth or whatever means.
Well, I've said that
a ghetto.
I really don't want to call you this word, but if it makes you feel better, you know.
Oh, come on! I'm not believing any of this.
So I'm the one that gets the sponge with no water, but the black people get a pass. Okay.
No, you
sponge
know,
Mom, with no water.
Also,
no.
Also, the hurtful thing is you are a writer.
Phil Hendry.
It sucks. Just sucks.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're very proud to have on the line here this evening Harry Shearer. I say on the line, Harry's in New Orleans, Louisiana this evening, and Harry is well known to all of you. He's an actor, an author, he's a director, he's a musician. More than anything else, the way I discovered Harry Shearer, he's a satirist, and he's funny as hell. His voice, of course, his characterizations are heard on The Simpsons, and Harry's going to tell us about The Simpsons and a lot of other projects, as well as on the big screen. Harry, the only movie that comes to mind is Godzilla, and I know that you've done other things, and so. But I
well, it was the
Harry
biggest movie I've ever. It's the biggest movie I ever did.
Biggest.
Phil, I have to say, first of all, I feel
yes.
so intimidated because I feel as if you're doing me. I don't feel
what?
Like I'm actually a guest on your show. I feel like you're doing me, and I'm home.
That I'm tossing my voice. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That,
exactly.
Because
you've
bizarre.
Been known to do
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Well, a human being, a person can exist, and yet when they're talking to me, they'll say, are you doing my voice too? Because it's just how I've gotten to know you. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Harry,
I feel like
you've
Margaret.
Also got
I feel like Margaret Gray. That's to be just.
Yeah. Well, then that in and of itself is a whole
that's a whole other thing.
Thought. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Harry, you've got an album out and a comedy album. And I say a comedy album because when's the last time we don't often hear about comedy albums the way, but when you and I were growing up, here comes a new Lenny Bruce album. Here comes a Bill Cosby album. Here comes a Jonathan Winters album, you know.
Yeah.
And they were
yeah.
they were charting albums. You have one called Greed and Fear.
Yes, but it's not a spoken word comedy album, which distinguishes it from the stuff that we grew up with, because I found right. out to my displeasure that those sink like stones these days. But this is songs, comedy, humorous songs.
That's awesome.
about our economic nightmare.
That is awesome. I know that your wife Judith, is Judith on the album at all?
She sings one song. It's all okay. songs about people or the strange phrases that have cropped up in this little economic speed bump, I guess, we've been going
yeah,
through.
Yeah, it's just a small
small
it's
hitch.
A small thing. Yeah, yeah.
Small
yeah.
hitch in our giddy up. that's a Paul Harveyism. I'm sorry. A small hitch
it
in our giddy
up. It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so she sings this song called Bonus Baby about her boyfriend who is a you know, big trader or hedge fund guy and who's gotten a big bonus. And, you know, they're asking for him to give it back. And he ain't gonna.
He's not going to do it. He's
no.
not going to do it. All right. Hey, I do have, now that we've talked about Judith, I don't have her singing here. Mm-hmm. We have one called oh. Goldman Sachs.
Oh,
from
yes.
the
Mr.
forthcoming.
Goldman.
Yes. Mr. Goldman and Mr. Sachs, or is it just yeah. Mr. Goldman Sachs? Yeah.
Mr. Goldman
well,
and Mr.
It.
Sachs. It's okay. You know, it occurred to me at some point reading about all this stuff that they're the two luckiest guys in the world, Mr. Goldman and Mr. Sachs. They mm-hmm. seem to end up, you know, however crappy the situation turns out to be, they end up making money off it. You know, they end up having somebody who's one of their representatives, usually running the Treasury Department. So I
well,
thought
let's
that,
listen to this. Yeah, here's a clip of the song. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll hear the guy. That's pretty interesting. So maybe this is Tim Geithner singing. This is actually from Harry's album, Greed and Fear, Goldman Sachs. Is that That is an impression of Timothy Geithner there, isn't it? I thought I heard the nasal. There's a little bit of a nasal congestion or something there. That's great, man.
Actually,
and that's also
it's,
a, it's, yeah?
Sorry. It's actually done in the style. I don't know if you know the English band, the Pet Shop Boys.
Yes.
Yes. So it's sort of an homage to the Pet Shop Boys.
Now that you mention that's outstanding,
See?
Man. And I can hear it. I wish like at the day, like I was saying, back in the day when KMET would roll all that credibility gap. You know, it was the first place I ever heard you, man, was on actually on KRLA. I don't want to start talking back in the day because people are going to be like lost. But Harry, you were a part of, and this is the thing that's very heavy. Harry was a part of with the greatest newscast, the greatest hourly newscast that was ever put on radio. It was one every hour. You and the rest of the credibility gap, Lou Irwin, and I think David L. Lander others produced every hour a running satirical review of the day's events, capped off by a song. And who was the guitar player, the singer?
Len Chandler.
Len Chandler would then write a song about the big story. Like, the only one that I remember is about the draft. And the lyric was, they can draft your ass and they can, something about how they can draft your ass and they can tax your ass and they can do this to your ass, but my ass is mine, I think was the name of the song. That's where, tell me about that experience, man, of like a local radio station. There's no syndication. There's no, this is Los Angeles. There's enough people. But you guys are like running your asses off every hour for 5 minutes doing a sketch comedy segment.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. It was a radio station that was constantly – it was a rock and roll radio station. It was constantly finishing second to the dominant station in the city at that point, which was
Boss Radio.
And So they were desperate for something. And so we were the – you know, that's always – I think you found this as well, Phil. The best place to work is always the place that is desperate and doesn't have a clue. Because once they think they've figured it out. You're gone. You know?
You're gone. No, you're gone.
Right. They're so gone. So, you know, it was a place that was like flailing. And we came in and Lou Irwin started this. And as soon as it got popular, and it did get popular, we were the focus of incredible resentment by the DJs because their attitude was, well, we're supposed to be the popular ones. You're the freaking news department. What business do you have getting phone calls and letters? Yeah. So it got kind of strange.
Oh, but that's what I remember fondly from that era of KRLA. I remember the disc jockeys, you know. And
you don't remember Johnny Dark? You don't remember Johnny Darren?
I don't remember those. I remember Casey Kasem coming out of the studio and saying hello. And in fact, this is how short I was, Harry. You know how short Casey is. I was looking up at him as if he was Godzilla. So three inches tall?
Wow.
So Harry, you leave that experience, and off you go for the next several years. You wind up at Saturday Night Live. Now, you've got some things to say, my brother, here about Saturday Night Live, as well as The Simpsons, that I've got to hear about, man. I mean, Saturday Night Live is one of those seminal moments in television that you can never be recaptured. Everybody tries to run where lightning just struck, as you know the old saying. But and that's what they've been trying to do with Saturday Night Live, is trying to run to the spot where they struck lightning, you know.
Yeah.
When you were there, it wasn't a pleasant experience. Was it a less than favorable experience? Tell me.
you're sugarcoating it, Phil.
Yes.
You're making it sound... less hellish than
like
it actually
fun.
Was. It was like a picnic in the park every day. No, it was. You've had. I'm gonna guess because you've been in radio. You've had some bad bosses.
Oh, now you're sugarcoating it. obviously.
Okay,
yeah,
so I had the
yeah.
Yeah, so I just had the worst of the bunch. That's all.
Was he Lorne Michaels is Jewish? Did he make a comment about hiring Jews?
The very first thing he said to me when I went to work there, I met him in the. He was producing a show for Gilda Radner, so we met in the audience of the Winter Garden Theater in New York in the afternoon because my welcome aboard meeting, and basically the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, I've never hired a male Jew for the company before. I've always gone with that Chicago Catholic thing. That was fair warning.
Well, what, you know? What is that about? Is that just a is that just a Jewish guy kibitzing with another Jewish guy, or that was like a serious?
No, that was just a warning that he had a particular animus for people who hadn't hidden, who hadn't worked as hard at hiding their Jewishness as he did.
as he had, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That's my guess. I mean, I literally, Phil, I spent the entire – I figured I'm a smart guy, so every week I'd come in with like a different theory of how to solve this. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. it had a number of – we just mentioned there one little – thing that just sort of set my neck hairs.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pull the scab off of something, but I all of us as fans of the show, all of us know that the show has gone through. You can be a very casual viewer of Saturday Night Live and see how it's changed over the years, and sometimes sometimes it's been brilliantly, amazingly funny, and other times you scratch your head and you go, I think, what are they? How come they're not funny? Are they? Well, I don't know. I'm not in showbiz. And then you say to the guy, well, they're working too hard. Oh, okay, thanks. So that's what we as viewers see there. And I'm sorry that you didn't have a very good experience there, Harry. So
well,
we'll move past that now.
I don't think, let me just say, I don't think most people who work there have a good experience. Good years or bad years, there's one thing that's very consistent about the show. People, you can always see the eyes of the actors darting sideways and down because we're always reading cue cards on that show.
Was that your sense? Was that always the case? It seemed to me with I hate to sound like the old guy, but here I go back to the days of Bill Murray and Gilda mm-hmm. Radner, and I think of how improvisationally brilliant those people were. You would never imagine them needing a cue card to work.
Well, I'll tell you what the director of the show said to another actor when I was on stage with him doing camera blocking for that show. And he said, hey, you can do that, but I won't see you. Meaning he directed it by the script. So if you wanted to improvise, you could do that, but you wouldn't be on camera.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about The Simpsons and more on greed and fear. We're talking to Harry Shearer, guys. Harry's with us from New Orleans this evening. The world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Show here with Harry Shearer, actor, author, director, musician, satirist. His latest is a comedy. It's a musical comedy album on CD called Greed and Fear, available digitally right now from Cougarette Records. Outstanding.
Courgette. Yes,
I'm reading it the way a guy from New Orleans would read it. Aren't you from New Orleans?
I live in New Orleans most of the year, but I'm from L.A.
You're from Los Angeles. You know that in New Orleans, Harry, everything is Carondelette and Chandelette and Calmette.
Burgundy.
Burgundy, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's Courgette Records, okay. And Harry, we were talking about Saturday Night Live and then The Simpsons, which you've been on for thousands of years.
Yes, since dinosaurs walked the earth.
But it was since Godzilla walked the earth. You
yes.
Know?
And, oh, and, there you go.
Now, what... Tell me about that show, because, you know, I know Matt Groening. I've always found him to be a nice man, but you work for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And people will say the following. Oh, well, you know, the Flintstones, man, when they changed Wilma's voice, it didn't matter. I still watch the show. When they changed Barney's voice, Mel Blanc, I think, stopped doing it. Some other guy. It doesn't matter the show. Did you guys come up against that with The Simpsons when you were sort of digging your heels in on the money?
Early on, I think year 7, then head of Fox told the New Yorker, we can get people off any high school campus in the country to do these voices. So that was always Fox's attitude. As it turns out, of course, they could get anybody from a high school campus across the country to run Fox. So He was half right.
That's truer than people listening know. Honest to God. Honest to God. So with that quote in hand, you guys went in there and said, we want more money, regardless of the thoughts of the higher-ups.
Yeah, it occurred to some of us that the show was sort of spinning off revenue at an astonishing rate, having been an internationally huge hit show. And mm-hmm. after about 7 years of getting low-grade it's the network was just starting out. They got a special dispensation because we need another network around. So after about mm-hmm. 7 years of that, we decided maybe now it's time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they were, they were making news. They're making history, knocking off CBS and ABC and NBC, and yeah. suddenly all this money. Yeah, like you said, suddenly there's all this money. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about money. First of all, do you have any? And secondly,
I got five on me.
Yeah, I'd love to have some. No, here's the thing, and it's always been my feeling, and you addressed this in your comedy album. While we talk about the government and while we talk about the labor unions, which, by the way, I just found out that I forget the name of the company. Oh, American Airlines. After they got the labor union to give back a certain amount of money, the next day they're giving out bonuses to their executives. Mm. So I've heard this bash on unions. And I've said on the show, I said, why are we reluctant to say that our business leaders, our industry leaders, the people that run our companies are inept and stupid? And I could use other words, you know. Yeah. Why is there always, you talk about a pass, why is there always this pass given to the private leadership, but the public, those guys are hung out to dry?
Phil, they're job creators. You know that.
They're job creators in India. And
job destroyers in Detroit.
In Detroit. Although there's a whole lot of nanny gigs that they're... Yeah, there's a lot of nanny jobs that they create, and there's a lot polish the bumper on the limousine, sir. Yeah. Those are the jobs.
That's why I loved the thing that was going on regarding Jay and Conan, because it sort of revealed to anybody who had a functioning brain... exactly how stupid the executives who run television are. And they're not different from the executives of many other companies. I mean, every single move in the whole Jay Conan thing was wrong. Done the wrong way, ill-conceived, executed poorly, with no sense of either what was good for business or what was good for people. And I think that's a fair portrait that they drew of themselves.
Well, it is a fair portrait. And by way of maybe adding my explanation or my footnote to what you're saying, Conan O'Brien's the future. Conan O'Brien is good content. It's audience loyalty. It's looking down the road 5-10 years as to what is the best product to put in here, and they sacrifice that for a quarterly bump in earnings. Is that's essentially what you're saying? That's what you've got.
Well,
with the
Jay Leno. Yeah, but they screwed it up at the other end too, because Jay was the number one guy on the Tonight Show when they said, Jay, you're going to take a walk. They might have found another way to handle all that and keep Conan, but they just kicked the can down the road for 5 years and then went, oh my God, what are we going to do? Let's put Jay at 10 because then we can save some money. So it was all screwed up in every possible way.
Yeah, and this is continuing. I wonder if there's anybody, right now, Harry, and feel free to comment on this. Major radio corporations, my industry, are worth less than a dollar a share. I don't know where Sirius is right now. I don't know where ABC. I mean, these guys were worth less than a dollar a share. There comes a point where you stop blaming your disc jockeys or your the talent pool not being there. We got a talent pool problem. We got a talent pool problem with people that run these companies, right?
Yeah, yeah. I noticed it was a year ago that the company that owns what used to be the ABC radio stations and the ABC radio network was selling. The stock was selling a year ago, Phil, for a penny, single penny. That's
ABC.
Value. That's added value.
Yeah. Well, we got the price right where we want it, and we can start buying the stations back, Bill. Yeah.
That's right.
Harry, it's great talking with you, man. I appreciate it
so much.
I wish you all the success. Where about – I lived in New Orleans. I was on the West Bank, though, over with the blue collar. Where are you? In the city there on Coron? Are you down there on the Esplanade, as they say?
I am in the French Quarter, sir. Yeah.
Oh,
I love
thing.
The French Quarter. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'm in the quiet part, away from the you-know-what.
I know where the quiet part is, a little bit down away from Bourbon Street, and it gets very residential.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful down there, man. Yeah. Hey, Harry, all the luck in the world to you. You're one of the greats.
Thank you, sir.
And,
thank you.
Don't forget,
I'm a fan
guys,
of yours.
Go out and pick up Harry. Thank you, brother. Hey, pick up Harry's album, Greed and Fear, iTunes.com. Check it out. Harry Shearer, folks. See you, Harry. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.